quite
unusual.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Quite Unusual podcast. We are your hosts. I am Noelle.
And I am Nicole.
And before we get to today's topic, which is fun, it's very fun.
It's a fun one, yeah.
I'm freaking pumped.
I love it.
I want to chat to you about just two things that I've been dying to tell you about.
Okay.
If you have a moment to talk about our Lord and Savior, these two things.
I got a moment.
You got a moment?
Okay. I got a moment.
So one is fun, and the other one is just like kind of a question. It's not that exciting.
Okay.
So which one do you want first?
Give me the fun one.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. So I have been watching this show on Hulu, which I know you have Hulu.
I do.
And I am freaking hooked, bro.
Always up for a new show suggestion.
Well, it's a cartoon. How do you feel about cartoons?
If it's good, I'll watch it, but it's not like my top thing that I try to watch, you know?
Well, this one's super fun, and actually just finished it the other day, but I honestly feel like I might rewatch it because it was so fun.
Really?
It's called Gravity Falls.
Oh, I know that show.
Have you seen it?
My sister was super into it. I've seen episodes, but I haven't actually watched it. My sister was very super into it, so you should talk to her about that.
It's so good, dude. It's a cartoon, for those of you that don't know. It's set in this extremely paranormal town in Oregon. That's called Gravity Falls. Yes. And it's twins, Dipper and Mabel. And I love it so much because Dipper is like totally into like the occult and like esoteric shit. And then Mabel is all about unicorns and sweaters. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I want to be her.
It was on Cartoon Network. Oh my God, it's like our dynamic.
It really is, actually.
Well, you like the occult and stuff too, but you also love unicorns.
I do love unicorns so much. So they find this cryptic notebook and then it just has like all these spooky things in it. It's mm-hmm. super funny, like absolutely hilarious. And it's super fun and it makes me happy. Like I was watching Handmaid's Tale, still finishing it.
I had to stop Handmaid's Tale because I just cried for like during the whole thing.
I just have started making fun of it so I don't cry.
Oh, how do you make fun of that?
Oh, it's so easy.
Is it?
It's if you are sad enough, you can make fun of anything.
Very true.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
I feel that.
So, I don't know. I'm just kind of not into like, for a moment, I don't want to do the whole like sad or heavy or.
Yeah, I feel that for sure.
Like whatever type show. So I'm looking for something to watch like before I go to bed so I don't have nightmares. Like if we're being completely honest.
I've been rewatching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
See?
Before bed.
Same vibe.
Yeah.
So maybe try Gravity Falls. It's very fun.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen a couple episodes. I didn't not like it.
Yeah. It's kid appropriate. It's not like one of those adult cartoons where they just like talk about dicks all the time.
Yeah.
But they do talk about, like, some dark shit. So it's very fun.
I think it was on Cartoon Network.
I think it was.
Yeah, that's why I remember it, like, when my sister was watching it, it was on Cartoon Network.
Yeah, I think so. And now it's on Hulu. So
everything's on Hulu, man.
I know.
Every show ever is on Hulu.
That's why I got Hulu. Yeah. And I don't regret it.
No.
This is not sponsored by Hulu.
We should be, though.
I fucking wish, dude. That would be so
sick.
I
love it.
Okay, are you ready for my question?
Yeah, okay. This is
the question. So that was my fun one. Watch Gravity Falls.
Watch Gravity Falls.
If anyone out there likes cartoons or likes weird-ass shit, Gravity Falls is going to be your jam. Gravity Falls.
Okay.
Question. Have you ever been able to see someone's aura?
Ooh, I like this question. I haven't been able to see anyone's aura.
Okay.
But I have been able to sense people's aura.
Oh.
Not everyone.
Tell me more.
Some people that I know and I guess see often, I can look at them and say, you're a blue. Or like, you're a yellow.
What am I?
I think I said that you were purple.
Oh.
Remember you asked me once? I said purple.
I ask you a lot of things.
I think you're purple, yeah.
Thank you.
Have you ever seen anyone's aura?
Same as you. I've never seen a color.
Yeah.
But I like pick up on vibes hard.
Yeah, you do.
I do.
You're very intuitive.
Thank you.
And you like don't even know it. And you're just like, I'm getting this sense. And I'm like, dude,
Thank you.
That's you.
Really nice. Mm-hmm. I think it's 100% genetic.
Yeah.
Because my mom will be like, don't trust him. Yeah. He's brown.
Your mom knows.
Well, that sounded racist. I meant the aura. The aura is brown. Yeah. Well, it's not racist. But she'll be like, don't trust that person. Like, yeah. Their aura is brown.
They're giving, yeah, negative or like, vibes or something.
Yeah. My mom is a fucking powerful psychic.
Yeah, she is.
And she just is oblivious to it.
I don't think she wants it, though.
No, she doesn't want it. She told me she's mad at the moon the other day because the phases of the moon were just not working for her.
I love it.
She's incredible.
If she would tap into her powers,
she doesn't want it.
She would be the most powerful witch in all of the land.
She's not fucking having it, dude. She won't do it.
I want her to.
I know you do. I asked her if she could look at your aura, and yeah. She said, no, I know her too well.
Oh.
Because she knows, like, she knows you, and yeah. She knows about you, and yeah. She said she has trouble reading people she knows because she already has a bias.
Oh.
Which I get.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
if I had to assign a color to you, mm-hmm. just based off, well, I know you, though, yeah. So that's kind of hard.
Yeah.
But I don't 100% know the aura colors.
What color do you see?
Red.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, I've gotten my aura picture twice.
And it was red?
And it was red both times.
You're fucking red, dude.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm a red.
You are a red. You're a redhead, and you're just an angry little guy.
I am. I'm a pretty aggressive person.
I like that about you.
Thank you. I'm fiery.
You are fiery.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, if you couldn't tell, we're talking about auras today. Yes. Auras, chakras.
If you haven't read the title of our episode yet.
Which would be weird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, we're
talking about auras.
We're talking about auras. Mm-hmm. So,
shall we keep talking? Shall we get into it?
Without further ado, auras for you.
All right. So, what is an aura?
Please tell me.
Well, an aura is a colored energy field that surrounds a person, an animal, or an object. Basically, anything that is alive has an aura. But if it's just a random object, that could have an aura too.
Ooh, we'll talk about that later.
Yes. In Latin and ancient Greek, aura means wind, breeze, or breath. It was used in Middle English to mean gentle breeze.
Yeah, and I actually was reading when we were doing our research mm-hmm. that in Latvian, the word aura means to fart.
Oh, okay. So there's a little bit of you expressing into the universe.
Yeah, like Middle English, gentle breeze, Latvian fart. It makes a lot of sense, yeah, if you really think about it.
All makes sense.
Yeah.
The colors of your aura are said to give an idea of your emotional and spiritual well-being. An aura is basically like a colored fog that surrounds your body. Some people who have spiritual abilities, like psychics, can actually see a person's aura just by looking at you.
That's a crazy talent.
Yeah, it's insane. Your mom has that talent.
I know, but she doesn't like it, so
I know.
We don't talk about it.
Others can sense a person's aura, but not see them. So kind of like what I was saying.
Yeah.
Do you ever look at a person and they're just super chill and they're calm about everything and you just think blue?
Yeah, dude. All the time. Yeah. Like when you meet someone and you're like, wow, good vibes. Mm-hmm. Or do you ever, I know you do, meet someone and you're like,
nah.
I don't fucking like this person. I don't know why, mm-hmm. but I don't.
Exactly. And you're probably sensing their aura uh-huh. when you feel that. If you're listening to this and you're thinking, this is some bullshit, I'm turning off this podcast right now.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Think of it in this way. And this is a quote from Christina Lonsdale, who owns and operates an aura photography business. And she says, as human beings, we radiate a very low level of electricity that's otherwise known as an electromagnetic field. So think of an aura as the energy you as a human give off. So your aura is kind of like your own personal vibe.
Yeah, dude. Or it's sort of like your own Tesla coil. Or it's sort of like your own mini power plant. or really anything that has to do with electricity.
Right.
Just feed it into, you want to talk about glow sticks? You are a glow stick.
You are.
You are.
You are a glow stick.
Never forget it.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you think about it, you as a person, you have an energy.
Mm-hmm.
Your energy gives off a vibe. That vibe is your aura. There are 7 layers or planes of an aura. There is physical, emotional, mental, astral body, etheric, celestial, and casual.
Casual is like where you don't want to be too serious with your aura. And like you're kind of like seeing each other, but you're not boyfriend and girlfriend, it's auras.
Super cash.
No. It's just like you kind of hang out sometimes. Like maybe like you go on a date. Maybe like things get like kind of hot and heavy sometimes. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you are still a single aura.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be wherever you want.
You can do whatever you want.
Anything you want, girl.
Keep it cash. Keep
anything. Cash.
The physical aura plane is the layer that represents your physical health. It is the first layer, and it's the closest layer to your actual body.
It's your underwear.
Exactly. The emotional aura plane obviously correlates to your emotions. Our emotions change, and so does our aura. Emotions can change the color of your aura depending on your mood. So if you're feeling down, maybe your aura will appear dull or toned down, not as bright as it usually is.
So this is sort of like your jewelry or accessories? Change it out?
Yeah, based on your emotions, I guess. Right. You want to go that route?
I'm doing an outfit here. I don't know if you picked up on that. I've committed.
All right. Well, the third layer is the mental aura plane, and it involves your logic, reasoning, and your thoughts. So it's pretty straightforward here.
This is your socks, your glasses if you wear them, and definitely your watch.
Yeah, for sure. For sure your watch. The next layer is the astral body aura plane, and it corresponds with your spiritual health. It's also where you store your capacity for love.
Aww. This is your jeans and your t-shirt.
That's where the love is, yeah, for sure.
It's in like your favorite pair of denim. Ugh. It's in like that t-shirt that you've had since high school, mm-hmm. that you won't let go of and you still wear, and it still goes through the laundry with everyone else and it makes it out and you put it on. The lettering, it just always feels so good.
The lettering might be like peeling off a little bit, but you don't care.
Doesn't even matter.
You don't care.
Ave Afu Band is still a great t-shirt.
Next is the etheric aura plane, and this has to do with one's psychic abilities. If you have a clear etheric aura plane, you probably have the ability to sense other people's energies and are able to connect with people who are similar to you and probably have a similar vibe to yours.
So this is kind of like us. Like, we're good at sensing this sort of shit,
mm-hmm.
and like vibing with fellow bitches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, your mom probably has the clearest etheric aura plane.
That's why she hates everyone.
Also, if you have a clear etheric aura plane, you're probably more sensitive. Like, you're on the more sensitive side of things and probably lean towards psychic abilities.
So, like, an empath would probably be, like, super clear?
100%.
Oh, shit. And, exactly. On this one, it's, I wish I never did this outfit thing. This is definitely a belt.
A belt? That's a wild choice, but carry on.
And definitely, like, a hoodie.
Okay, I see hoodie, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. The next is the celestial aura plane, and it's where your dreams and intuition are stored. It's the plane of enlightenment. If you have a powerful celestial aura plane, you are probably a very creative person.
Wow. This one's a coat.
Absolutely.
Love a good coat. Like, doesn't matter what kind, your favorite coat.
Mm-hmm.
Your favorite coat. Is it orange wool? Beautiful.
Please not orange wool.
I have an orange wool coat and I love it.
Oh, you do.
Thank you.
Okay, your orange wool coat is tasteful. We'll give you it.
Thank you. Or maybe you have like a bomber that you love, or like a leather jacket that like you never zip up because it just looks so cool when it's open.
Like a brown faded leather jacket.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's like looks oversized and you just love it.
So dope over a hoodie.
Yeah.
So dope. Yeah, this is definitely a coat.
And the last layer is You guys guessed it. The casual aura plane. This layer brings all of the other layers together, and it actually helps guide you on your life path.
This is fully a pair of gym shoes.
Mm.
Maybe it's Adidas. Maybe it's Nike. Maybe it's Vans.
Did you just call Adidas Adidas?
That's how it's pronounced. It's short for Adi Dassler, who was the person that founded it.
What?
Yes.
How do you know that?
I listened to a podcast about Adidas.
Adidas. I was a footwear buyer for about 3 years, uh-huh. and I did not know that.
It's Adidas, and it's short for a man named Adi Dassler. Adidas. And then his brother, I don't remember his name, but he, they got into like a fight, and then he started Puma.
What?
And bought a factory across the river.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not going to go into this, but there's a Stuff You Should Know episode about
Adidas.
Footwear companies that helped and didn't help the Nazis. I don't remember the name of the title.
I actually know that because when I was in footwear, I actually know. I know a little bit about that.
But they had like beef, like Puma versus Adidas.
I just can't get over this Adidas thing.
Yeah.
Who the?
Adidas.
Adidas.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, I was saying Adidas, like every other human
like
on the planet.
Like a gosh dang American. Yeah, so
damn
this
Americans.
This is definitely a pair of gym shoes. Mm. I don't trust people that call them trainers.
What is a yeah, that's not, we're not calling them that.
Who's trying to be right now?
We'll call Adidas Adidas, but we're not calling them shoes trainers.
We're not going there. But this is a level that gets you where you need to be.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So, what do each of the aura colors mean? Well, the colors of your aura relate to one of the seven chakras. Now, you may be asking, what is a chakra?
Nicole, what is a chakra?
Well, the word chakra means disc or wheel, and it represents different energy points in your body. Each chakra represents certain nerve bundles and major organs within your body.
Like a spleen?
Yes, exactly. That's like a spleen.
Knew it. Knew a spleen would be involved.
You feel your best and you are at your best when all of your chakras are balanced and open. If a chakra is blocked or not functioning to its best ability, you may experience physical and emotional pain related to that specific area. The seven chakras are your root, sacral, solar plexus, heart, throat, third eye, and crown chakra. The crown chakra is white, and it is related to your pituitary gland, your upper brain, your right eye, your muscular system, and your skeletal system and skin.
Okay, so like everything. Like the crown chakra is like holding everything together right now.
Yeah, it's at the top of your head. That's where it's located. So it is like the main, I guess, one of the main points.
Okay, so yeah. It's like, chill out all you other chakras. I got the bones, the skin, the muscles, pretty much most of the brain.
Yeah.
And the right eye, because fuck a left eye. Who gives a shit?
It's an important chakra for sure.
I'm just gonna, without knowing what the other ones are, say it's the most important chakra.
Well, let the listeners decide.
All right, well.
The crown chakra has to do with your ability to trust life. It also has to do with your values, your ethics, courage, humanitarianism, and selflessness. It also involves your ability to see the larger picture, your faith and inspiration, and your spirituality and devotion. The next chakra is your third eye, and it is violet in color, and it's related to your pineal gland.
Pineal gland.
Lower brain, nervous system, left eye.
Oh, this has got two eyes going on. All right.
Ear, nose, and pituitary gland. It's located in the middle of your forehead. And your third eye chakra deals with your self-evaluation, your truth, your intellectual abilities, feelings of adequacy, openness to new ideas of others, and your ability to learn from experience and your emotional intelligence.
This sounds like the one your therapist wants to talk to.
Well, open your third eye. Open yourself to all of the possibilities.
I need different glasses because these only have two lenses.
You need a third one for your forehead.
A third one. I'm going to start wearing a monocle on my forehead.
Nice. The third is your throat chakra, and it's blue, and it's related to the thyroid and parathyroid, and it is located in your throat. It's related to your throat, your thyroid, your trachea, your neck, your vertebrae, your mouth, teeth, and gums, your esophagus, and your hypothalamus. Your throat chakra deals with choice and strength of will, personal expression, following your dreams, using your power to create, and it also has to do with addiction, judgment, and criticism, your faith and knowledge, and your capacity to make decisions.
These chakras are, their wagons are full, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, where's the chakra that's like, yeah, I handle, like, your right hand, you know, like your slapping hand, or like your high five in hand. Like, they're all carrying so much weight.
Mm-hmm.
It's freaking me out.
Well, if you notice, we're slowly moving down the body.
Yeah, we are.
So each chakra is going to correlate to those pieces of your body.
I wear a lapis lazuli.
You do, and lapis lazuli is very good for your throat chakra.
Because I have fucking speech impediment. And that is literally why I wear it. And I put it, like, in, what's this little part of your neck that, like, kind of goes in right here?
Ooh,
like,
I don't
right,
know.
You know what I'm talking about? It's like your collarbones are on either side.
I don't know what
it's
called,
like,
but yeah.
A little hollow of your neck.
Mm-hmm.
I put it in my throat when I go to sleep like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wish that it fixes my speech impediment. And it never does.
Well, you're pretty good at expressing yourself, though, so.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, it helps.
You should see my hypothalamus.
The heart chakra is green, and it's related to the thymus gland, your heart and circulatory system, your lungs, your shoulders and arms, your ribs and breasts.
Titties.
Your diaphragm, and your vagus nerve.
You know what?
What?
The vagus nerve has the best casinos.
What happens in your vagus nerve stays in your vagus nerve. Your heart chakra involves love, hope, trust, forgiveness, and compassion. It also involves resentment and bitterness, grief and anger, self-centeredness, loneliness and commitment, and obviously it's located on your heart.
What if it was like your shoulder? And for some reason they called it your heart chakra.
Your heart chakra is located on your shoulder.
I always wear my heart on my sleeve, Nicole. I don't know about you, okay?
Your solar plexus is yellow, and it's located in your stomach, and it's related to your pancreas, your abdomen, your stomach, upper intestines, your liver, your gallbladder, kidney, adrenal glands, your spleen.
Love a spleen.
And your middle spleen.
Wait, what?
I don't know.
What happened to the upper and lower?
It's just the middle, I guess.
Middle spleen? Malcolm in the middle spleen?
Malcolm in the middle spleen. This has to do with your courage.
Ooh, trust your gut.
Exactly. Your trust.
Whoa!
Your fear. Self-esteem, self-confidence, and self-respect. Your care for yourself and for others. Your responsibility for making decisions. And your sensitivity to criticism and your personal honor.
And also, like, if you ate crab from a gas station and it's not sitting with you right.
Yeah.
Your solar plexus will tell you.
It's going to be like, this is fucked, man.
Yeah. It's like your solar plexus is going to start talking with your throat chakra. Mm. And they're going to have a little communication about what to do.
Maybe don't eat crab from a gas station.
Don't tell me what to do. But, you know, whatever.
I'm going to throw that out there.
You know what? I'm going to do what I'm going to do. It's quarantine. I'm going to eat crab from a gas station if I want to.
Well, then your throat and your solar plexus will have some talking to do.
I threw up crab from a gas station earlier is what I'm trying to tell you.
Did you?
Yeah.
What possessed you to eat crab from a gas station?
I don't want to talk about it, okay?
It was a really rough time.
I was having a really rough time, and the crab was there for me when nobody else was.
Oh, man. Your sacral chakra is orange, and it's located in your sexual organs.
Ooh, so hot. You chakra me all night long. The sexiest chakra.
It is. It's related to your gonads.
The wiener twins.
Hey. Your large intestine. Your urinary tract.
Infection. You better watch out.
Mm. Cranberry juice. Lower vertebrae, your pelvis, appendix, bladder, and hip area.
Thrust it, baby.
It involves pleasure and indulgence.
And also urinary tract infections.
Mm. Blame and guilt.
Oh, no.
Money and sex.
Hey.
Power and control.
Ew.
Creativity.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes, you know, you gotta get, like, kind of creative.
Ethics and honor and relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe just read that last part again.
Honor and relationships.
That's right.
The last chakra is your root chakra. It's red in color, and it's located in the base of your spine. And it's related to your adrenal glands, your legs, your feet, your bone marrow, your rectum, your immune system, and your kidneys. Your root chakra involves your physical family and your group safety, your security and survival, your ability to provide life's necessities, and your ability to stand up for self. It also involves your feelings, your sense of belonging, and your social and family law and order.
Dun, dun.
So, if you've been paying attention, the seven chakra colors are the colors of the rainbow.
Aww.
And white.
Aww.
So, starting from your root chakra, you have red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet, and white.
White.
White. If you're feeling a little down or maybe physically irritated in one of those areas, chances are your chakras are imbalanced. Now, obviously, that's not the answer for everything. We're not saying if you have lung cancer, it's because your heart chakra is blocked. But if you're feeling a little off...
Like because you have lung cancer?
Something to consider.
Like, why are your chakras imbalanced if you have lung cancer?
An unbalanced chakra can lead to
cancer,
emotional imbalance, and some even claim if you leave this chakra unbalanced for long, it can cause permanent harm, such as mental or physical illness.
You know, my mom always told me, if I keep my face and my chakras like that for too long, they're just going to stay like that.
They will.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you balance your chakras? Well, there are chakra healers out there. Reiki practitioners, and other spiritual healers, or you can try it yourself. Certain yoga poses are great for helping to balance your chakras. You can even practice breathing techniques to encourage the flow of energy through your body. But my personal favorite method is just simple meditation. If you're feeling down or off, find a meditation song on YouTube, find a comfortable spot, and just relax into the energy of your own body.
Do you meditate a lot?
I do.
Do you really?
I do. Whenever I'm feeling off, I do.
Wow, dude, that's amazing.
It works. And I know some of you may be rolling your eyes listening to this, but don't knock it till you try it. I am a firm believer in meditation, and I've never once meditated and not felt great afterwards. So I suggest everyone try it out.
I have tried to meditate so many times.
Really?
Because I work full of anxiety.
Yeah.
And I did it successfully once, but I'm still unsure if I just didn't fall asleep.
Oh. Well, if you fall asleep, you're kind of doing it, right?
Maybe.
I'm super relaxed.
But then I woke up because, like, a bug flew in my mouth.
What?
So.
Were you outside?
Yeah. I was outside. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
It was in my backyard. Mm. And I think I just fell asleep and then a bug flew in my mouth.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if I meditated or I just ate a bug in my sleep.
Mm. My favorite way to meditate is I will turn off all the lights, light the candles, get some music from YouTube, and then just relax in the bathtub.
Do you say music from YouTube or YouTube?
YouTube.
Oh, not like the free album that they put on the Apple products?
Well, I mean, I guess if you want to meditate,
there's nothing more relaxing than Bono. Nothing more relaxing than Bono.
I mean, you can use that if you want to. I personally have not. But if you want to.
Are you afraid you're going to drown?
In a bathtub?
You can drown in a bowl of soup.
I don't fall asleep easily just in general. So I've never fallen asleep meditating.
Okay. So, well, yeah. I did. And then I ate a bug. So.
Well, maybe don't try the bathtub technique.
I'm going to meditate on dry land until I can handle it.
Yeah, that's probably for the best. So now that we know a little bit about auras and chakras, let's get into Noelle's favorite part, the history.
The history will no longer be a mystery. God, I hate that I said that.
Leaving it in.
Well, now that we know what the hell a chakra and an aura are, mm-hmm. it's like I always kind of knew.
Yeah.
But it's good to have a definition, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Let's find out where they came from.
Yeah.
Because, as Nicole said, that's my favorite part of everything. The concept of an aura predates written history. Tens of thousands of years ago, people were painting their fellow humans with auras around their bodies on the walls of caves. There's even some thought that holy figures, you know, like the picture of Jesus with like his mama's holding him, but he like still looks like an adult man for some reason, but he's an infant.
But he's like 9 pound, 8 ounce baby Jesus.
Yeah, with like a full mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, people think that the halo of light painted around their heads signifies a golden aura.
Oh, I like that, actually.
Sort of fun, right?
Yeah.
And as you told us, the aura and the chakra are not exactly one and the same, but they do correspond.
They do.
They're sisters, not twins, just like eyebrows.
Just like if you put on that winged eyeliner, never the same.
Never the same. But
never the same.
Sisters. Not twins.
Mm-hmm.
So the chakras, which is what I kind of want to get into deeper here, because I feel like that's the root, no chakra pun intended, of all of this.
Nice, solid joke.
Thank you. I really didn't mean it. So this is part of an esoteric ancient belief that spread across India about the physiological and psychic centers in the body. And this, again, emerged throughout Indian tradition for centuries. To break it down, we're all two entities simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
You are your physical body, and then you are your subtle body, which is emotional, psychological, like anything not physical.
Like your soul.
Yeah, like you're Tyler Durden and...
the narrator.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And you're both at the same time.
Right.
Tyler's the emotional one, obviously.
Yeah.
And then the narrator is the physical body.
Duh.
The concept was first found in the early traditions of Hinduism. The beliefs are different dependent on the Indian region. In the Buddhist text, 5 chakras are mainly focused on, while in many Hindu texts, it's usually 6 or sometimes 7. I also saw, dependent on the text, some very old Hindu teachings show upwards of 88,000 chakras.
What?
Throughout the subtle body.
88,000?
It makes sense to me. I was looking at a very old drawing, like an illustration of it. And everything had its own chakra.
Like every piece of your body?
Pretty much.
Oh.
Which makes a lot of sense.
That does
because,
make sense, actually.
Like I said, they're doing a lot of heavy lifting.
Mm-hmm.
These 7 chakras.
Yeah.
The term first appears in the Hindu Vedas, which is a holy book written between 1200 and 200 BCE. But it's thought that the term existed long before that in oral tradition. It doesn't exactly align with what we know as a chakra now, but it refers to a king called the Chakravartin who turns the wheel of his empire.
Oh, and chakra means wheel.
Exactly.
Makes sense.
Yes, so he does this in a direction from a center point. So if you're thinking of it like a chakra is in the center of your body, mm-hmm. down your midline, and then it wheels outward, sort of.
Interesting.
The 5 symbols of the Vedic altar are square, circle, triangle, half moon, and dumpling.
Dumpling?
Yeah, and they're shown to represent these center points, which kind of alludes to the chakra that we are now. And I'm pretty sure if I have any chakra at all, it is the dumpling chakra.
Sounds delicious.
I also feel like maybe the cupcake chakra. I got one of those.
You're definitely a cupcake chakra.
Thank you. And like an iced coffee chakra?
Mm.
Oh my God. Dude, yeah. I'm having an idea.
What?
Let's be the worst people ever. Like the worst people. And re-envision the chakras as items from the Starbucks menu.
Oh.
Hear me out. I know. Sacrilegious. Print this shit on merch. Sell it in every fucking Target store in the world.
The Starbucks in the Targets?
Yeah, duh.
Got to.
People would love it. But now that I'm saying it out loud, it sounds like a borderline hate crime to, like, take, like, this ancient religion and turn it into, like, cake pops and frappuccinos.
I mean, that's capitalism for you, so.
I'm doing it. What do you think the solar plexus is?
Oh, that's your stomach.
Uh-huh.
It's got to be something like caramel frappuccino.
Oh, all day, dude.
Yeah, it's happy. Everyone loves it.
Uh-huh.
It's like, it's delicious. You want it in your stomach.
You do. You want it. Yeah. You want it in your body.
At all times.
I'm just going to put it out there. I'm mm-hmm. just going to. The crown chakra mm-hmm. is a birthday cake pop.
Yes. 100%.
This is, I feel dirty talking about this. During the first millennium, which I looked it up, it's literally the years 1000 to 1 BC.
One.
Like wow. Year one.
Year one.
Or the Iron Age, if your brain works like mine, because it's broken. And you need to picture it in the context of that. Remember that 90s computer game, Age of Empires?
No.
What?
I don't know.
It was like the precursor to like Clash of Clans.
Okay.
It's amazing.
I don't think I've ever played. I played Amazon Trail, not Age of Empires, though.
Oregon Trail.
Amazon and Oregon.
What?
There are two.
There's an Amazon one?
Amazon's better.
I only ever played Oregon.
You were missing out.
On the handheld device.
No, it's a computer game.
What?
Old school computer. It was like loaded on every computer. Amazon Trail.
I never played this.
Oh my God. It's so good. You would always die from like malaria or like get
killed. I just died of dysentery.
Yeah. You would get killed by like a tiger.
What? I just got killed by my oxen.
In the Amazon rainforest. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So much better than Oregon.
That sounds like the rich people version. Like you got like a tropical death and I just like died with the fucking Donner Party.
Well, I mean, I've been trying to find a version of it. It doesn't exist. No one's like remade it.
I don't think it was real ever.
It probably wasn't.
Whoa.
I just want the original game.
Fever dream.
Somebody just make the original game. I want all of the same shitty graphics. I want all of the same terrible deaths. My voice just cracked.
Puberty.
I just want the old game. I just want to play it like once.
I want that for you.
I know, me too.
I want to play Age of Empires.
I've never heard of this game.
I had it downloaded on my giant desktop. Remember like the...
Yeah.
They were like 3 feet long.
That's where I played Amazon Trail. Yeah.
Yeah. It was so good. It was like you start a society from like a Neolithic era and then it like goes all the way up to like the future. It was like the precursor to like The Sims.
What was the future in the 90s though? Flying cars.
It was very like Jetsons-y where it was like little like Futurama style.
Yeah. Like in 2020, everyone will be flying a car.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and love here we are, dying of coronavirus.
Yeah.
Killing it. Dying of a fucking plague. Right. Okay, well, anyways, during this first millennium, breath channels were mentioned in this holy Hindu text, but still no psychic energy ideas. Those came along in the 8th century in the Buddhist text, so they were kind of like in the year 3000.
Mm.
These texts listed energy centers inside the body called things like lotus or mound, which is sort of like an early metaphysical chakra, if you will, just by a different name. And then, during the medieval era, both Hindu and Buddhist texts began to speak of life energy and energy-carrying arteries.
Hmm.
So it's sort of evolving into what we know as a chakra.
Yeah.
With this came the idea that the human body was full of these energy channels that emitted a radiant light on the outside of the body along with the inside. Ergo, the aura. Auras have been commonly accepted as part of the anatomy of a living thing just absolutely forever. It wasn't until 1903 that the concept of the aura came to the Western world, which seems so late because we're talking year one. In the Buddhist world.
Yeah.
We're talking 1903. Charles Webster Leadbeater, a member of the Mystic Theosophical Society, was a man trying to bring it to the forefront of the world's view. Just as a side note, the Theosophical Society is absolutely bonkers, and I started researching this and kind of fell into a rabbit hole in the middle of my research for auras and became obsessed. So I propose that we do a future episode on this.
On Charles Webster Leadbeater?
He would be part of it, but mostly the Theosophical Society.
Okay.
Because they get weird with shit, dude.
Well, with a name like Leadbeater, you gotta get weird.
He's just inside all night. One hand calloused. He's got...
They don't call him Leadbeater for nothing.
Ayo. Charles Webster Leadbeater, who grew up in Cheshire, England, became a priest for the Church of England until he read A.P. Sinnott's book called Occult World. And then he started to, like all good little Church of England priests, become obsessed with the occult.
That sounds like my kind of priest.
Yeah, dude. He was totally into mysticism, and he gave up societal convention altogether. He even became a vegetarian.
Oh!
That's right, which was absolutely unheard of back then.
Was it?
Yeah. Didn't you ever see Pink Floyd's The Wall, where they talk about if you don't eat your meat, you can't have your pudding? He wasn't eating his meat. He was beating his meat. He's a Leadbeater. Let's be real. He joined the Theosophical Society in 1883 as a result and gave up the church altogether.
Yeah.
The next year, he met the Queen Mother, Madame Blavatsky, which is another episode that we need to do. He met her while she was in London, and he began to study under Blavatsky, which sounds absolutely incredible and enlightening. In 1884, Charles moved to India to study under what he and Madame Blavatsky simply called, quote, the masters.
Oh.
The, okay. quote, masters taught him about meditation,
yes.
awakening the psychic possibilities of the mind, and clairvoyance.
I want to study under the masters.
Me too, dude.
I've been trying to do this for years.
Well, go to India and study under the masters.
Let's do it.
What else do I have to do?
Let's fucking do it.
Let's go right now.
Let's do it.
Got to. Charles stated, quote, power to see what is hidden from ordinary physical sight is an extension of common reception. He began to hone his craft of astral sight and clairvoyance in India with his masters. It was very like Mr. Miyagi style, but instead of catching flies, he had to astrally project flies.
Wax on, wax off from the astral plane.
Whoa. That's fucking cool, dude. I fucking love that shit.
It's very cool.
It's so cool.
I'm into this, like, master's idea, too.
It sounds so mystical mysterious.
Yeah, you just go to India and you're like, masters.
Helena Blavatsky knew the fucking masters, and yeah. now they don't even exist.
Or they do, and they're just hiding. And only the real ones know
Maybe. Where they are. I'm going to search them on Google later. They probably won't show up.
Google search the masters.
Google search
See what happens are. When what comes up with that for that.
I'll let you know. In 1903, Charles published his book called Man Visible and Invisible.
Oh, okay.
In which he described what an aura was, and he illustrated that an aura evolves along with a person as their morality evolves. Which is a very nice thought.
Yeah, I like that.
He took from what he knew of chakras, and he mixed it with his own ideas, but he never gave credit to the origins of his teachings or his masters.
He never gave credit to the masters?
No, dude, it was problematic as hell.
What an ass.
Charles described chakras as energy vortices, and associated each of them with a gland, an organ, and other body parts, so he's not super off. But also not super on point.
So did he create this whole idea of what we know as chakras now?
Ooh, foreshadowing.
Oh, sorry.
He did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He started it, and then another white dude kind of took it over.
Mm.
Yeah, classic.
Mm.
He called this the Occult Anatomy, which is a sick-ass fucking band name.
Charles and the Occult Anatomy.
That's so good, dude.
It is good.
Others picked up his ideas and spread them around, always adding or subtracting as they pleased.
Mm.
By and large, though, this process was considered satanic and occult.
It always is.
But luckily, England was going through a very heavy goth phase.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So no one went full satanic panic about it. They were into it.
They liked the goth phase.
They fucking liked it, dude.
They embraced the goth phase.
They absolutely did. And I in America, that. What did we do? Freaked out.
Satanic panic.
Wow.
We panicked.
In 1977, an American named Christopher Hills published an esoteric book called Nuclear Evolution, The Rainbow Body. Which borrowed the ideas from Charles Leadbeater's Occult Anatomy, which I'm obsessed with the phrase occult anatomy.
Yeah.
I just imagine a skeleton with bats in it or something. Charles Leadbeater had described each chakra as intricately detailed shapes with multiple colors, but Christopher Hills dumbed it down to make it easier for people to buy into. He put all the chakras in a sequence down the center of a person's body and associated each with the color of the rainbow.
Nice.
So what we know now.
Exactly what we just talked about.
Like, if you're having trouble picturing this, think your absolute favorite yoga influencer on IG. Imagine the tapestry that they have hanging behind their $200 yoga mat setup in her New York City loft. And that's what it is. Hashtag Zen. After Christopher Hill got his hands on the idea, chakras and auras became part of the mainstream esoteric ideology in the 80s and the 90s, which, of course, led to a whole host of New Age medicine involving reading your aura, clearing your chakras, crystal healing, and aura soma. We will get into aura soma later. It's insane and very cool. Various types of holistic healing within the New Age movement claim to use aura reading techniques, bioenergetic analysis, which just kind of sounds like a sciencey way of explaining it.
Yeah.
And spiritual energy and energy medicine to cure pretty much anything in a person's life. Like, this is the radium of the 90s. But it doesn't kill you. It just,
no.
You just spend all your money on it.
It also doesn't cure you.
No.
Like radium.
Radium definitely did cure you. Wink. We're not paid for by the Radium Corporation. Wink. Hashtag sponsored content. All right. Let's get into some fun stuff that people do with their auras.
So we mentioned some people can see auras. Well, there is a way that you can take a picture of your aura. And I've actually done it before. Twice.
I know. I'm so excited.
2 years apart. And both times, my aura was the same. Like I said earlier, both times I was just full on red. So take that as you will. But to me, it kind of sort of proves that there may be something to it.
Yeah, if it was the same and you went to a different place and...
It was a different place,
It was years apart.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. And also I get that vibe from you and I'm not wrong. And we'll post the pictures so that you guys can see it on the social medias.
Yeah. And I say that because I have seen other aura photos of people, and there are, like, you can look it up. There are so many different combinations. You can have 5 different colors in your aura, like, all different places, which we'll get into later. But the fact that mine came up the same 2 years apart kind of, like, validated it for me.
Yeah, I think so.
So in 1970, a man named Guy Coggins.
That's a made up name.
It's a real name.
I'm a guy and I. Coggins? Nerd.
That's a little.
Guy Coggins.
It's better than Charles William Ledbetter.
Charles.
Beater?
Ledbetter.
Charles William Ledbetter.
You can't beat him. He's a Ledbetter.
Well, Guy Coggins, actually, it's real. It's a real guy.
Guy Coggins. It's fake.
He had a background in electrical engineering, and he built a camera that he said could capture a person's aura. He first brought the AuraCam 3000 to the public.
Also a fake name
for
something.
It's a great name. I love that.
I like that he went 3000. Because he was prepping for the future, bro.
Well, it gets better, okay?
Okay, okay.
Don't stop interrupting you.
All right.
Sorry. So he brought the Aura camera, the AuraCam 3000, to the public in the 1980s, and then later released the AuraCam 6000.
This dude is prepping for the fucking future. He is living in the year 6000.
Which, the AuraCam 6000, this is the most commonly used device today when getting your aura picture taken. And apparently, there are only 100 or less of these cameras in the world today.
I tried to look one up to buy one.
Yeah.
And they're very expensive.
I think they're like $10,000.
Yeah.
And also, some of the film that they use is like they don't make anymore.
So I don't really understand why you would buy one.
No. Coggins used instant film cameras connected to 2 charged metal plates containing biofeedback sensors. And the camera uses a double exposure technique that first takes the person's picture, and then it takes the picture of the aura.
Right. Double exposure is, for those of you that don't know, it is exactly what it sounds like. So it takes a photo on top of a photo. So if you've seen like any of those really cool old like quote unquote ghost pictures, but that's like obviously fake, is because they took a photo over the same exact like film.
Oh. See, Noelle is our photography expert. I know nothing about photography, but Noelle has taken classes, so she knows a little bit.
It's pretty cool. Like if I were to take a picture of you sitting right there and then roll back the film and over the same frame take another photo where you don't move, but now I am behind you, or you don't even have to be there. I'm behind you. I'll look like a ghost. Yeah. So it has this like ethereal sort of like foggy look to it, which would make the aura appear pretty cool probably.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Well, yeah. And that's exactly how it looks. It looks like a fog surrounding you. This technique is accomplished by using silver-laced hand sensors that you place your hands on, and then these sensors essentially read your body's energy while the photo is being taken.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. The Coggins camera measures the energy from your hands and displays information as a colorful field surrounding your body. And every color has its unique qualities and purposes. Fun fact also, Coggins built a custom aura measuring device for L. Ron Hubbard, the founder of Scientology.
LRH?
Yeah.
Weird.
I feel like he always comes up in our episodes somehow. It's like he's like trying to get us to do a Scientology episode.
I want to do one.
Which we're going to do.
I want to do one.
We're going to do it.
I want to do it.
But just not now.
It's going to be like a 10-part.
Exactly why we're not doing it now.
We cannot do another.
We're still reeling from the Jonestown, so.
We can't do it again, man. Yeah. We can't do it in 2021. Call us in 2022, and we'll fucking talk about talking about. We'll talk about talking about it. We'll talk about talking about it. Maybe talking about LRH, maybe in 2022, if we're talking about it.
If we're talking about it. So both times that I have gotten my aura picture taken have been by a Coggins camera. And when I did it the first time, it was with a company that traveled around the U.S. with their setup. I think they were like Michigan-based, but they came to Chicago. And they had a little tent. And so I went inside the tent and I put my hands on the plates. And then they took the picture.
Cool. Easy.
Yeah. And then the second time I got it done, I was actually at the Mind, Body, and Spirit convention.
Oh, I want to go to that.
We're going to go once it actually happens again because of COVID. But it's basically just like a huge convention, and they have psychics and healers and just like vendors with all of their own booths. And when I got this picture taken, there was no tent, but they had a backdrop and they had the same device. I put my hands on the plates. And I had my picture taken, and they actually took a picture of my chakra.
Whoa, my chakras, that's so cool.
As well. Yeah. Which we'll show you. I have it all. We'll be showing it on the after show, talking a little bit more. So we'll get into more of that. But another method of taking aura photos was created by a man named Semyon Davidovich Kirlian, and it's known as Kirlian photography.
This shit is so fucking cool.
It's cool, but we'll get to that. The Kirlian method does not even require the use of a camera.
That's how good it is.
They place a sheet of photographic film on top of a metal plate, and then the object, or the person, I guess, who is getting the picture taken, sits on top of the film. And then to create the exposure, a high voltage is applied to the metal plate. And then you capture the electrical coronal discharge between the person and the metal plate. And then I guess this produces sort of like a light or a silhouette around the person or the object sitting on the photographic film. It's also known as electrophotography. And it was invented in 1939, but wasn't brought to the public until about 1970. But Kirlian photography has sort of been debunked.
Oh.
It's really just a natural reaction of the photographic film and the high voltage current. And scientists say it's basically just a light trick.
Well, I don't believe in science. That's my opinion.
We know that. You hate science.
I hate all the scientists in the whole world.
So when they were trying to do tests and trying to debunk, they were using a leaf. And they took a picture of the leaf. And then what they would do is they would rip pieces of the leaf to see if it would damage the aura or if it would change the color of the aura. Because obviously if you rip off a piece of a leaf, it's like ripping off a limb or something of a person. So they were doing tests with this leaf. And when they did this, they then took a picture of the leaf after they had ripped the leaf off. And there was a faint outline of the part of the leaf that they had ripped.
Right. It looks like a ghostly part of the leaf. It's very, very cool.
Right. It is very cool. But what they found is that the device was photographing the moisture. So once they did this and they photographed the leaf and it was like kind of like a ghost limb of the leaf, then they did it again and they wiped the surface. And when they cleared the surface of all moisture and contaminants, there wasn't any aura. So they kind of came to the conclusion that it was photographing moisture from the object and not the object itself.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But that's all science-y, and obviously we don't understand. But
it's just disappointing.
It is disappointing.
Because I thought it was real until I kind of like looked into it more. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't want to, so I knew you were going to talk about it.
Yeah. I know. It's, in theory, it sounds like it should work because it's using high voltage, it's using energy to try to get a picture of something, but the fact that, like, once you wipe away
everything. Moisture.
Yeah. Or I think they also did it in a vacuum setting, so everything, like, all the air was taken out.
Yeah.
And nothing. It didn't produce anything. Oh. So.
Well, everyone knows auras can exist in a vacuum.
Yeah. It's a common knowledge.
Pretty easy to understand.
So you can have a number of different colors in your aura photograph.
Was yours all red?
Mine was all red both times.
Okay.
Which is why I said before, which is why I think that there's like something to it. Because other people that I've been with who have gotten their picture taken, they've had all different colors all around them.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of different possibilities and a lot of different combinations. And the fact that mine was the same both times, 2 years apart. It's kind of eerie.
I want to do it so bad.
I know. You should. So the area above your head actually represents your hopes, your goals, your aspirations, and what you are experiencing in the present moment. Your left side is what you are actually feeling. So that's like your energy in what you are creating for yourself in the near future. And then your right side is your energy out. So that's how you express yourself to others, how others perceive you, and it also represents your recent past. So you can be feeling one thing, but portraying another thing to others.
What? Lying? People don't lie, Nicole.
Well.
Everyone's honest.
Maybe.
All the time.
So your left and your right side of your aura can be a different color. So my aura was just all red. So I guess that means that you see what you get with me. What I feel is what I show others.
Literally nothing has been more true.
Now for the fun part about what the different colors mean. So let's start with red because
you're red
through and through.
Do it, girl.
Red means high energy.
Duh.
You're busy.
Duh.
You're driven.
Yeah.
You're intense.
Honestly, sometimes too intense.
Very physical.
Yeah.
You're passionate.
Hey.
You have a lot of love.
Aww.
Maybe you're sexual.
Ooh, hot and bothered.
You're a thrill seeker.
Yes.
You enjoy the rush. Uh-huh. And you like to take charge.
You sometimes hit me if I try to do something without your permission.
If you're a red, you're a natural leader and maybe a bit controlling, which, yes.
No, you're not very controlling, though.
I'll, sometimes.
You Yeah, you know you like control.
Also, if you're a red, you may be a little stressed.
Hell yeah, dude.
A red aura means...
If you're alive, you're stressed.
Yeah.
If actually, you're not...
Everyone's stressed.
If you're not stressed, what's wrong with you?
Exactly. A red aura means that you're strong and aggressive.
Check.
Check. Maybe a bit dramatic. I don't really feel like I'm dramatic, though.
Okay, but... No, you are.
I am.
You're not dramatic, like exceptionally, like, over-the-top dramatic. Yeah. But you have,
like... I can freak out, for sure.
You have... Yes. Like, don't get dramatic on me right now.
I'm not.
As you are known to do.
I promise.
I wouldn't consider you smooth sailing. And I mean that from a place of love.
Thank you.
Please don't freak out on me.
I can, yeah, I'll agree. I can freak out pretty hard.
I'm just kidding. No, no, no. You're chill. But yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone can freak out sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. Whatever. But red also means that you love to take charge and you're an extremely passionate person.
You are.
I think I'm pretty passionate.
Mm-hmm.
So,
about the things you love.
Exactly. The color orange means that you're very creative, you're original, you're a hands-on person, you're very expressive and fun, emotional, and you have an urge to achieve. You have an active mind, you're friendly, outgoing, confident, and independent.
So you probably don't have ADHD?
No.
Okay.
But you do have a lot of energy, and you're very sociable, optimistic, and you make friends easily.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Yellow is happy, magnetic, you have a magnetic personality, you're spontaneous, you're probably a helper, very friendly, love harmony, you're a very analytical, problem-solving person who thinks a lot, you may be competitive, and you love to learn. If you have a yellow aura, you are very full of life, and you're very smart, witty, and confident, and people tend to like you.
Just like Big Bird.
Exactly, like
Big Bird. We've come full circle back to Big Bird.
Yes. Green is the color of healing, or you are a healer, you're a teacher, you like to help others. You can also represent balancing or a growth period or a possible change. If you have a green aura, you have strong values, you are hardworking and ambitious. You are driven to fix or improve. And green is actually all about self-love, too.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Blue means you are a truth seeker. You like harmony and you desire unity.
Doesn't the color blue just give off that vibe?
Peace. 100%.
Totally, dude.
Calm, peace.
Oh, yeah.
You're very peaceful. You're a good listener. You value spiritual growth and communication. And you put the needs of others first. If you're blue, you're very caring, empathetic, and sensitive. Turquoise, you are compassionate, encouraging, and nurturing. It could also mean a possible transition or rejuvenation in your life.
Ooh, do you say turquoise or turquoise?
Turquoise. Who says turquoise?
Idiots, that's who.
Turquoise.
Turquoise. The turquoise.
Turquoise. Violet, which I get a vibe from, a violet vibe from you.
Well, I want to get it. I'm going to get aura photography. I'm going to look it up.
I think right you might be yellow, episode. Too.
Thank you.
Yellow. I'm getting yellow, orange, and violet from you.
Oh.
You might be like a mix. A lot of people have a mix of colors. Actually, all of the people that I have been photographed either around or like with friends have always had a mix of colors.
Except you.
Which is interesting because I'm just red.
Elmo's red.
Red through and through.
We're but yeah, keep a lot the of Sesame Street
theme. A lot of people will have a bunch of colors mixed in.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm just all red.
Dude, so I'm so interested to see it because yeah. If you're right, fucking high five, dude.
I think you're yellow, orange, and violet. So violet means you have psychic ability.
Do I?
I think you do. You're intuitive.
Am
which
I?
You are. You're magical, a manifester. You have a deep spiritual understanding.
Do I have that?
You repel stress, which you 100% do.
Thank you.
You're the least stressed person I know, which I worship in you. You have a creative imagination and desire to help others.
Do you feel like that's me?
I feel like that's you.
Aww.
Also with the yellow, I think that people obviously like you. And then with orange, you definitely have a high energy and you're very independent also.
Dang, so, yeah. Dude. I'm going to look up as soon as we're done recording where I can get aura photography, and I'm going to call off work and go get aura photography.
Next time the mind-body-spirit convention happens, we're going.
I want to go to that.
We'll do it. So pink means unconditional love, you're very compassionate, and you have a romantic and gentle soul.
That's what pink means. Mm-hmm. That's so beautiful.
Gold means you're very intuitive. You probably have a lot of gut feelings, and you just sort of, like, know things, you know?
Not like Jon Snow.
He doesn't know.
He doesn't know.
He doesn't know.
You know nothing.
He knows nothing. He is not gold. White means divine energy, and you're spiritually motivated. You are connected to angels or spirit guides, and you possess a cosmic wisdom. You have an intense energy and have healing abilities and a oneness. The second time that I got my picture taken, there was a bit of white at the top of my picture. So I was all red, but the top of it was a little white. And the guy who took it, obviously he talks you through like what it all means. And he told me that I have a connection to the divine and I probably have a lot of spirit guides that are helping me, and I thought that was kind of cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah, because there was like a little cloud of white above my head.
Yeah,
and I really liked that.
That's very cool. I was gonna say, how many people do you think have white? I bet it's not that many people.
I don't know. That's a good question.
It seems so pure mm-hmm. of an intention that I bet not a lot of people have it.
Yeah, and so the second time I had it, it was like mixed. So it was like red all around me, but at the top it was like a lighter red, like a brighter red.
Yeah.
And he was like, you have a little bit of white like at the top.
How fun.
Yeah, and he was like, you're connected to the divine and you probably, he said, you have spirit guides and angels guiding you.
Oh.
And I was like, and actually, at the time, my dog had just passed.
Trixie.
Yeah. So I kind of felt like she was like one of those guides coming through.
Dude, Trixie's like,
she's a guide for sure.
All day.
Yeah. So if you are tan, that means you are detail-oriented, cautious, logical, strategic, and very intelligent.
You are basically a manila folder.
Mm-hmm.
You are a manila folder in human form.
Yes. If your aura is brown or murky or black, there may be a blockage in your energy flow, and you may need to do some chakra balancing, or you might just be like a serial killer. It's either one of those.
Definitely both at the same time. Definitely
both at the same time.
Imagine. You're a serial killer in your Eckhart, and your defense is, Your Honor, my chakras were so blocked. You know what it's like. I just had to kill her because my chakra was blocked.
Do it.
And now they're unblocked, and I'm fine. And then the judge is like, I heard you, girl. Get back out there.
So if you ever witness anyone and you're getting like a bad vibe and you're just like, this person is not good, mm-hmm. I don't get good things from them, chances are they have a murky, blacker, brown aura, and trust your instincts and stay away from that person.
We're just going to call it the murder aura.
The murder aura. Yes. Yeah. That's what it is.
100%. If you want to do more than just aura photography, which, like, why not if you're in this deep?
Do it.
Then you have some options as far as aura and chakra reading go. Aura reading is exactly like what it sounds like. You go to a person who's capable of reading auras, duh. So typically, like a psychic, a clairvoyant, an energy practitioner, or a spiritual advisor. They look at you. Or in the now times because COVID, mm-hmm. they look at you on Zoom. Or sometimes they just need to look at photos of you.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know about that one, if I believe that as much.
Yeah. So when I was at that convention, there was a booth and she was doing pet readings.
Oh, yeah.
Just from photos.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to do it because I wanted to do my dog, who she had passed like 2 weeks before I went.
Yeah.
And I really, really, really wanted to do it. But I just wasn't getting the vibe that how can you look at a picture of someone
and get it?
Yeah. So I opted out of it because I had the exact same thought.
It just doesn't seem legit.
Yeah.
Like a photo seems like you would just be able to pick up on cues from the photo and kind of like cold read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Zoom I get because you can actually get a sense of the person and you can see them and their energy and stuff.
Yeah. Or like maybe even if like you take a selfie and like send it to them and then they instantly do a reading.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so they can do Zoom, they can do photos, or most of the time it's in person, which seems the most legit to me.
Yeah.
So they look at you and then they just tell you what they see. During the reading, whoever is reading your aura, let's name this person because I don't want to keep saying aura reader. So what should their name be?
Sapphire.
So during your reading, Sapphire is how we have to say it.
That's how you
say it. I'm going to point to you. So
Sapphire.
There it is. So during your reading,
Sapphire
will tell you the colors and shades of your aura around you that they see. Often they will also see textures in your aura, which is very fun.
That is fun.
Sometimes it shows up as holes, scratches, lines, dents, or whatever other irregularities. And all of these mean something. So if
Sapphire
sees your aura is yellow, which means optimistic and happy and friendly and so on, like we just went over.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a hole in that yellow, then possibly you are letting something get in the way of your optimistic, happy, friendly, or so on personality. And then
Sapphire
will help you sort out the feelings associated with that. A little bit like a therapist, but not fully on therapist level. Mm-hmm. So please, chat up Dr. Brown, your licensed psychiatrist, after you talk to
Sapphire
to get your full feelings out, because
Sapphire
may offer you guidance if you want that, but they're not your therapist.
Yeah, a spiritual healer is not a mental health therapist. Just gonna put that out there.
No.
Completely different things. Both of them are equally beneficial, but they're not the same.
No. Agreed. Seek mental health professional if that's what you need.
Yes.
And if you really want to get down to brass tacks on your feelings, girl.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Sapphire
can tell you how to heal this hole, which I don't know if I could tell you one way to heal a hole, but, you know, I'm not here for that. And along with this guidance, they can also maybe help you sort of unlock things that you may be subconsciously harboring. Like, your orange has a little bit of red right over your head, which we all know red means anger.
Duh, it's my color.
So, like, why are you angry? And then you cry, and then you give them a big tip, because then they help you get over your ex who stole all of your forks when they moved out, just to, like, be a dick. And then you're angry still. Okay, you're still angry, but
Sapphire
has helped you realize why you're angry, and you're able to move past it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like with all psychic readings, you are going to get exactly out of it what you put into it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to believe, you will believe. If you want to be open to it, you'll probably get more out of it than if you go in like an angry little skeptic.
Right.
Like, why are you even here? A lot of people do that to try to like myth bust on psychics.
Like, what's my future? It's like, it doesn't work like that, bro.
No. Get a crystal ball and like a bong and you can see your fucking future.
No one can tell you your future because your future is dependent on your choices. So the choices that you make decide your future, and that's ever changing. So you can never know your future.
That was deep, dude. We should have put a PSA at the top of this episode to say, if you are not eating drugs right now, consider eating a drug.
Everyone listening to this episode should be eating an Afghan temple ball right now. If you're not, turn this episode off and grab one.
Eat one. Rewind it and start over.
If you don't know what we're talking about, listen to our last episode.
Like, why are you here? Why did you start on this episode? If you don't know.
Well, if you're here, like, we welcome you.
I mean,
listen to the last one.
Yeah.
So, it's whatever.
Chakras can also be read, and it's sort of similar to aura reading. Usually, chakra reading uses a little bit more pageantry, which I love a little pageantry.
Mm, we know you do.
If you go to a place that has, like, they're really trying to sell it, It will look like a massage studio with low lights and tantric music and definitely some reeds in the corner, maybe a lantern or two.
Sage is probably burning. The whole office smells like sage.
Without a doubt, there is sage in the air.
Mm-hmm.
You'll usually be asked to take your shoes off and lay down on a comfortable table. Maybe you'll get a pillow. You'll definitely get one of those sick knee bolsters, so like it keeps your like your spine in line.
That's the good shit.
Oh yeah, dude. That's how you know it's legit.
Mm.
And then the practitioner, should we name this one?
Quartz.
Okay. So then the practitioner.
Quartz.
Will use a crystal, likely clear quartz.
That's why she's named Quartz.
They will likely use this in pendulum form. They'll cleanse it so that it doesn't retain any of the energy from their last reading. Maybe with sage or essential oils, or like just spit shine it, you know, spit on it, like wipe it off the shirt. And then they'll get down to work.
Quartz.
We'll hold the pendulum over you, and it will move in one direction if your chakra's open, and the other direction if it's closed. Very, very easy. If you don't know what a pendulum is, it's like a crystal hanging on a string or a ribbon or a chain.
Mm-hmm.
And then usually it goes in a circular pattern or it just goes in a straight line, like right or left.
Yeah. So I have a pendulum. And if you ask it questions, obviously you know the answer to. So if you say like, my name is Nicole, and then you see which way it goes. Mm-hmm. And that's the way that it says yes. But if you say like, this shirt I'm wearing is blue when it's like black, then it'll do a different thing. And they totally work.
Yes.
I've used them before.
They work. I agree with you.
But there's a whole thing where it's like your
subconscious mind.
Yeah, is doing it, which I get, whatever.
Let me people believe. Enjoy things.
Let me believe.
Let her believe. If your chakra is closed, they will attempt to open it. This can mean chanting, breathing exercises, burning a certain incense, or anything else that
Quartz
might prefer to do. Think of it sort of like taking a laxative for your spiritual colon.
Mm.
From what I saw, sessions can take up to 2 hours if you're really blocked up. Although I don't recommend trying to shit for 2 hours if your real colon is blocked up. Look, I'm not a doctor. Okay, I'm not a doctor. But shitting for 2 hours seems like a really bad idea.
It doesn't seem like a pleasant thing to happen to a person.
No, it's a really long time to sit anywhere.
Yeah.
To be honest.
I hope you have a book with you.
That's oh my God, just... at least your phone.
Yeah.
Imagine reading the back of a shampoo bottle for 2 hours. You don't want to do it.
You don't. No one does.
Reading auras and energy doesn't have to be done on just the living, like Nicole sort of touched on in the early part of the episode. Psychometry, also known as token reading, is the practice of touching an object and reading its history and knowledge. This is supposedly done by picking up the energy field emitted from an object, or its aura.
I'm obsessed with this. I love this.
It's dope as hell, dude. Because
especially with older, like if you like antiquing or anything, uh-huh. It's just like totally has a vibe. And just like touching it, like you can feel that energy.
Can you do that? Can you do it?
I mean, I just get a different vibe from older antique items than I get from newer items.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily know what that vibe is, but
cool.
I love antique shops. I could spend hours and hours and just like touch things and be like, someone loved this purse once and now it's here. I just like a vibe.
And, like, you open it, and there's, like, vomit from, like, a really great night out in it. And you're just like, wow, Doritos and Cheetos. She fucking lived a goddamn life.
It's a purse from, like, the 20s.
Yeah.
She had a wild night.
So cute. Maybe a little, like, radium in there. It's really nice. This whole psychometry situation was pioneered by Joseph Rhodes Buchanan, which three names means a serial killer. I'm just putting that out there. He coined the word psychometry, which means measuring the soul, in 1842.
Hmm.
He claimed that he could feel an emission of energy from all objects. Very fun.
Yeah, I love that.
That whole phrase, like, if these walls could talk.
Yeah.
Totally.
Well, I mean, especially with, like, houses and stuff. Uh-huh. Like, the older the house is, it's just, it has this energy and this, like, vibe, which it can't be matched by a new house. You can't you can't replicate that.
I've walked into houses and just been like, no.
Yeah.
This is a bad place to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read a quote from this man because it's very, very fun, and I want to do an old-timey voice.
Please do.
The past is entombed in the present. The world is at its own enduring monument, and that which is true of its physical is likewise true of its mental career. Can you understand me?
I just really like the way you said career.
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 The discoveries of psychometry will enable us to explore the history of man. And those of geological enable us to explore the history of the earth.
I'm laughing so hard because you sound like the voice in Jurassic Park.
Thank you.
When they do the video and they're like explaining about how they do like the genomes and stuff. You sound like that voice.
Thank you. This is a voice you need to listen to. It's important. It's made to be heard.
It's so good.
There are mental fossils for psychologists as well as mineral fossils for the geologists. And I believe that hereafter, the psychologists and the geologists will go hand in hand.
But it did not go hand in hand.
Uh-oh. No. Not unless you're Patricia Arquette and you've just been cast in the hit drama Medium. In which case, you can put your hand on a grave and be like, she was murdered 13 years ago and 4 days and 6 hours and 1 minute and I'm Patricia Arquette. And then everyone knows that you're Patricia Arquette.
But she can't prove it in court. Because you're just a medium.
You're just a fucking medium, Patricia.
Mm-hmm.
For the longest time, I called Patricia Arquette medium because I didn't know her real name.
Medium Arquette.
I didn't know it. Psychometry had a moment in the late 19th century, like around the time that seances and turning tables and stuff were popular.
Yeah.
But it kind of got abandoned except for Medium Arquette. She kept the tradition alive, but no one else did. Aura sumo, which we touched on earlier, is another form of aura reading. It's a little confusing, but highly recommend Googling aura sumo because the photos that you will come up with are very beautiful.
Okay.
So this was developed by a woman named Vicky Wall in 1983. She had almost entirely lost her sight, but she claimed with the losing of her eyesight, she had gained a second sight, which manifested in the ability to see auras.
So she couldn't see anymore, but she could see auras.
Yes. So she could read people's energy, but she couldn't see in the traditional sense with her eyes.
She like daredeviled it where she lost her senses, but then the other senses got stronger.
Oh, yeah, dude. Like, it was raining, okay? Elektra showed up. The raindrops bounced off her beautiful chiseled cheekbones. And Vicky Wall was like, blue. And then Elektra knew she was called.
Blue Elektra.
That's seriously that scene in Daredevil. I forgot Daredevil was a fucking movie. I forgot that
it
existed.
It was a TV show, too. It wasn't a bad TV show either.
But I can picture that fucking scene, dude, where it's like raining and it makes out the perfect detail on everything.
Yeah.
This is such fucking ridiculous bullshit.
It's a sad fleck, isn't it?
It is sad fleck.
Isn't that how he met Jennifer Garner?
Oh, yeah.
And then that ruined that.
Turned out well. Imagine breaking Jennifer Garner's
heart. The
best
thing that ever happened to him.
Next to Dunkin' Donuts. That's the best thing that ever happened to Sad Fleck.
That's true. It's what keeps him going.
Yes. It's the only thing that keeps him going. He wakes up every morning for his D&D, iced coffee, and munchkins. And he knows, I can make it through another day.
Yeah. I mean, hey.
Vicky Wall claims that one evening at home, she was compelled to start mixing oils. So instinctively, she grabbed oils, water, plants, herbs, really anything she could find of like a natural type of object.
Okay.
And she mixed them together. She made the first two-colored equilibrium bottle. She said that when she awoke the next morning, she could visualize the morning light radiating through this bottle. She could see it. But again, with her second daredevil sight, not with her real eyes.
The daredevil sight.
Right. Suddenly, I felt energized, she said. Happy, the physical tiredness I had been feeling lifted, and the concept of balance came into my mind. And then she began researching the effects colors have on people's moods. So she developed 117 equilibrium bottles of varying color before her passing in 1991. And basically how it works is that when you look at these bottles, you pick one. Like, you go to a place that does this Aura Suma, and they have all these crazy colored bottles everywhere.
Okay.
Some of them are half colored. Some of them are full colored. It's a whole array. So you look at these bottles, and then you pick one. And the attraction to a certain color combination means something that's, like, specific to a vibrational frequency of the person that's selecting it.
So, like, whatever you're feeling in the moment is... whatever color you pick is going to reflect, like, how you're feeling.
It's more of what you need in your life.
Oh.
So if you're picking a yellow and orange bottle, you need more happiness and you need more, what was orange, structure or something?
I think it was, like, you're independent.
Okay, so you need to be happy, you need to be independent. So leave him is basically what this bottle is telling you when you pick this up.
So it's kind of like a well, I guess not a tarot deck, but
something similar.
A deck of cards where you can pick a card a day and see what you need. Oh, I like that.
Yeah, but these are bottles that reflect the light, and they're very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
When a bottle is selected, the practitioner will use it to unblock chakras in a way that I wasn't fully able to ascertain from the internet without paying for an online class.
That's
a thing about this. But I'm going to assume it's probably pretty similar to the way that you unlock chakras anyways.
Yeah.
With, like, the movement and the chanting and the incense and stuff.
Right. And if it's, like, an oil and herb combination, maybe it's something that they put on your body and skin?
Possibly.
I don't know. Just speculating here because the internet doesn't give us any info.
No, I wish, because I'm really interested in this. It seems very, very cool. But I do know.
Aura Suma?
Aura Suma, yes.
Sumo? Is what it's called?
Yes. Aura Sumo. So it's AuraSumo.
Mm-hmm.
So you pick this out, you get your chakras unblocked, and then you get to take the bottle home with you.
Mm.
And then they say, come back next week and we'll do it again.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's very cool.
Into that.
Like I said, look it up. The bottles are super cool looking. And I love this woman's story. That she was going blind and she just felt compelled to, like, make this thing that would bring her happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And it did.
Yeah.
It just really gives me, like, a psychic vibe.
And yeah. I like the whole picking your own color too. Not knowing what it's going to represent for you, but just, like, whatever stands out to you. I like that a lot too.
Yeah. Me too.
Cool.
If you guys want to hear our thoughts on the whole chakra aura situation, and maybe, I don't know, we'll just kind of chat about what we think it could be and if it's real or what.
I'll share my pictures and my chakra reading with you also, because I got my chakras pictured also. So I'll share that all with you.
And Nicole is going to do a very fun card pulling of her chakra cards with her crystals.
Yeah.
So check that out on the after show with Nick and No. Available on our Patreon.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a listener mail this week?
We do. This one comes from Evan K.
Our friend. The friend of the pod. Longtime friend of the pod.
Brother from another mother.
Brother from another mother.
Mr. Evan K. He says, hiya, ladies.
Hey, Evan.
Hi, Evan. This one's a bit more grim than the stories that I have shared before. I hope you have plenty of champs at the ready, and let me know if not.
We're drinking red wine tonight, actually. It's a special anniversary occasion.
Ooh. Happy anniversary, Nicole.
Happy pot-iversary, Noelle.
Pot-iversary.
Yeah.
In, like, the last 2 months.
Yeah, we don't really know the exact date, but we're just celebrating now.
Spring is the date.
Yay!
Yay! So he continues, and that's all I have to say on that, really. Story number 3, an encounter too close for comfort. I don't remember how long ago this happened. My brother and I were still living at home, so it must have been while we were still attending school. As you know by now, my fascination with the paranormal, everything from cryptids and aliens to the more intangible things on the spectrum, like ghosts and the possibility of an afterlife, is a long-standing one. Like many in our strange community, personal grief or events that have happened to us, rather and more likely that we stumble upon in our everyday travels, are the sparks that light the fires of curiosity within us. Millions of reasons for believing, one for every person committed to the search for truth. Sometimes, however, those exact things that draw us further into the mysterious web are intended to be the ones that keep us out. While shopping a DVD bargain bin at FYE, rest in peace.
I loved FYE.
So good.
So good.
One day I came across the 2009 film The Fourth Kind.
Ooh.
Hereafter, TFK for brevity's sake.
That's a fun one. That's a fun movie.
I never saw it or heard of it.
They pretend like it's real, but it's not. It's actors. It's like a Blair Witch sort of type of situation, but it's not true. But then you like have to look it up afterwards and be like, did this really happen? And it didn't. Spoiler. But it's a fun movie.
Well, it came out over 10 years ago, so if you haven't seen it and that spoiled it for you, I'm so sorry. Yeah. He continues, I had heard of it, remembered the trailers on TV and in theaters when it was coming out, but I had never seen it. For $2, why not?
Hell yeah.
If you haven't heard of it, the basic premise is paranormal activity, but it's aliens.
Exactly.
Right up my alley. My brother was out that night, so I indulged myself with popcorn and snacks at the ready, and I watched that film. I had no expectations going in, but I came out the other end quite shook.
Mm-hmm.
Shooketh. Needless to say, my popcorn grew stale, and my snackums went uneven. I've never had that issue.
Snackums!
As the credits rolled, I started doing some research.
Same, Evan.
Something about the way TFK was presented didn't jive with me. I looked into the director, who hadn't and still hasn't done much else of note except some producer work on the new Star Trek Discovery series. Some of the, quote, actors who, quote, played, and I use quotation marks for a reason.
Yes.
Residents of Nome, Alaska, in the film, had next to no credits to their name. One in particular had a single photo on her IMDb page. And her nigh-absent filmography took me around in a circle back to TFK.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds suspicious.
Yeah.
When I tried looking up the alleged real-life story behind it, everything I found brought me back to the same dead-end sources related to the film itself.
Yep.
Researching other persons mentioned in the film whose names were, quote, changed to maintain anonymity, turned up redacted results, if any. Furthermore, I couldn't find links to these so-called case files anywhere. Just the outrage the film created with the real-life Nome community. Something was there. I just needed to dig deeper. Find out if all of this was a clever marketing ploy to get butts in the seats, or there was actually something to it. I included a hyperlink to the opening clip here. Next to no trivia accompanies the film, on IMDb, which is odd for something with such a mysterious aura.
Aura.
Synchronicity.
Synchronicities.
I was getting frustrated. I realize and willing to accept what skeptics would say about all of this. It was all made up for the sake of sales. Idiot. That it was made so convincingly to look and behave like Blair Witch style story.
Yes, that's what I said.
And it blurred the line between what was acted out for the sake of entertainment and what was incorporated from real life. But the lack of that distinguishing line was what disturbed me more than anything. I smelled collusion, a cover-up. This is all just a setup for what came next, though. With my conspiracy-minded and overly analytical brain thoroughly vexed and my brother back home for the night, I decided that it was time to relax. I fell asleep that night rather quickly for college-aged me, something I look back on now with the utmost incredibility that it was just me being tired. It was about halfway through the night, a little after 3 a.m., a fact that I'll forever remember because of the scarring events that took place. What? I was awoken out of a dead sleep, but not by anything out of the ordinary. No rousing nightmares or sounds of a break-in, just with a vague, someone's watching me feeling that we all experience sometimes. There was a strange stillness to mine and my brother's room. It was a colder night, so we didn't have the windows open. There was no breeze, which made the sudden teetering and fall of the model figurines on my dresser so startling. They didn't just take a tumble, however. To my wide awake eyes, it looks like someone had stuck an arm behind them all and whipped them off the dresser. They came crashing to the floor, and it was my outcry that awoke Ethan. Ethan is his brother. When he came to, it looked as if he were pinned to his bed, being held down by an invisible something. Neither of us could see it, but we felt the presence of whatever it was. He claimed he never heard the thing, but I distinctly remember hearing an angry grumble or growl from somewhere by where my figures had fallen, ceasing only along with the pressure my brother felt on his chest when my parents came rushing into the room. We slept with the doors open the rest of the night. Ethan and I have reflected much on this event since, with my history with the paranormal being what it is. He says that it wasn't surprising that I had the initial and more vivid experience that I did. He was fine, other than that paralyzing pressure he felt, and hasn't had any problems since that night. I don't think that he's as attuned to that kind of thing as I am. No real trauma kicking his intuition into high gear. As for me, every time my mind seriously returns to that night, the events that followed my watching of The Fourth Kind, and the odd synchronicities enshrouding the film's production, I receive ...warnings.
What?
Spurred to commit this to paper, finally, by a vivid dream that I had the other night, a recurring dream, one that pops in every time my mind dwells on something like The Fourth Kind dilemma for too long. It always has the same tall, slender, silvery being with faces like featherless owls and reddish-orange gouges for eyes. Never any grinning man or shadow demons, but these beings' message is always the same, and I paraphrase, stop searching, look away, forget.
Whoa.
Kind of hard to forget something like that when it feels so real, and thus tends to stick with me, like watching a car crash in slow motion. I felt like Julianne Moore in The Forgotten.
Holy shit.
What?
My aunt just told me to watch that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Synchronicities.
She literally was like, you need to watch The Forgotten with Julianne Moore. Like, a week ago.
Really?
Today.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, he feels like Julianne Moore. So just watch Evan.
I just got, like, goosebumps when she said that.
Suspecting that there is more at work, but stonewalled and threatened at every turn. As I said, my reason behind finally telling this tale is because it happened just again the other night. I can no longer be silent. I've never been abducted, never wake up with any weird markings on me or anything like that. But I believe that there is something there that doesn't want us digging deeper. Not yet, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
In the way these things I see in my dreams carry themselves, it's almost like a parent scolding their child. I'll bet parents never perpetuate nightmares within their sleeping children. Like always, I was unable to fall back asleep. After this latest dream, I felt the same stillness in the house. Even the normal creaking and settling of the floorboards was absent. I don't feel like I'm meant for anything special or great. I'm no John Keel stumbling upon strange synchronicities that led up to the Silver Bridge collapse. I was just in Point Pleasant.
You could be. You could be, Evan. You never know.
Dude, I was just in Point Pleasant. Another synchronicity. Yeah,
that's actually very crazy.
That's so weird because he wrote this like a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm reading it now.
Whoa.
Two synchronicities.
I know I'm more curious than most, even within my own weird circle, and I know that kind of thinking can be dangerous. I also know that I might just be paranoid, seeing patterns where there are only blank spaces, and making more of shudders, coincidences, and vivid dreams than what is healthy.
You're not paranoid.
I don't think you're paranoid either. You're not paranoid.
Follow the patterns. That's my advice.
That's what Mothman would want you to do.
That's what John Keel would want you to do.
View my experiences as you will, but I firmly believe if I had never seen that film, or if my poking about had never been, I would not be in the state that I found myself in. Just the other night, awake, afraid, and feeling utterly alone in my own home. I've since performed a smudging ritual on and around my apartment, and am kind of at peace. I want to believe, but I don't want to die in the pursuit of that truth. Rest assured, I'm taking every precaution I can. Toodles.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, dude. And for those of you that don't know, Evan Kay, or stylized as E.S. Kern, wrote a super, super cool book called The Shade. Mm-hmm. It's the first in a series, and he's currently working on the second, and I think also the third simultaneously.
Yeah. Yeah, Spirits of Salem, I think, is the series that he's working on, but The Shade is the first one, and
yeah,
there are many more books to come.
Yes.
Hence why his listener mail is so eloquently written.
Yeah. So if you like witches, mystery, tough female main characters, mm-hmm. I highly recommend it. It's pretty good. If you just search his name, E.S. Kern, it comes up right away. And you support a small author.
Yeah. You can buy it on Amazon.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good. So thank you so, so much, Evan. That was a very spooky story.
Yeah.
Probably won't sleep tonight. So
I'm going to say after watching that movie too, I did the exact same thing.
Really?
Because the way that they present it, it's like the Blair Witch or Paranormal Activity, where they make you think that it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously you're like, IMDb, where are these actors? And then somebody somewhere was a sleuth and made some connections and was like, this isn't real. But it's very freaky. It's a very freaky movie, thinking that it's real.
I want to watch it. I'm going to watch it tomorrow.
I think Mila Jovovich is the main.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah, she's very good. But yeah, it's a good movie to watch. It's extremely creepy.
Yeah.
It'll creep you out.
Can't wait.
And then you'll have to IMDb to figure out if it's actually real or not.
I'm just going to text you and Evan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've already done the research.
Well, if you have a super spooky story, or maybe just even a good movie recommendation, hit us up. Send your stories to quiteunusualpod@gmail.com, and we will read it for listener mail on our upcoming episodes.
Yeah. And if you like what you hear, we ask that you share our podcast with a friend.
Please do. Knock on their door. Knock on your neighbor's door and say hello. Do you have a moment to talk about our Lord and Savior?
The good word of quite unusual.
Quite unusual. And that's us.
We're on all the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, mostly Facebook and Instagram. So hit us up there too. Send us a message. We'll respond.
And if you want to send us something physical, maybe you have like the bloody heart of a man that you cut out. Don't send that to us, please, because you're a murderer, and send it to the cops. But if you maybe have like a spooky book, or you have like a little love note, or a piece of candy, or like unicorn hair, or like anything you want, like to send us like a picture of you with like today's newspaper to let us know that you're okay, send it to P.O. Box 1212 in Des Plaines, Illinois, 60017. And we'll chat about it, and we'll put it up on our corkboard.
Oh, yes, we will.
We sure will.
And we also have a Patreon, so if you want to support us, support the podcast, hang out with us, whatever, you can go to patreon.com/quiteunusual, or just search Quite Unusual and find us there. We have a bunch of different tiers, and we actually have a new patron to welcome.
Yes. So, Katie R., thank you so much for your support.
And remember to celebrate the strange.
and keep it unusual. Bye. And this is the part of the show where we give praise to the all-knowing leaders, the supporters of the podcast, in all-around benevolent means.
Spencer W., who crafted his own lament configuration, but instead of opening the gates of hell, it opened the gates of heaven, so he could host his own private David Bowie concert.
Talk about life on Mars. Tim M., who once accidentally adopted a black-eyed kid, but was too creeped out by them to let them sleep inside.
Always check the label before you adopt.
It's in the fine print.
Savannah L., who went to high school with Mothman, but back then, he was just known as Moth Boy.
I'd love to see his yearbook photo. Samantha P., whose road trip through Wisconsin in search of cheese, curds, and beer, was abruptly halted when their car broke down on Bray Road. The beast was not very happy, but gave really great directions to the cheese castle.
Gotta get that Gouda, am I right?
Got to.
Mike B., thought it might be fun to buy the Amityville Horror House to rent for an Airbnb, but thought the cleaning fees might be a bit too much.
Wee, wee, wee. Lauren R., the designer of the Flatwood Monster's dress, which is all over the runways in space.
Hasn't caught on Earth yet, though.
A shame.
Kaylee O., the only vampire in history that can see her own reflection and take so many mirror selfies.
But she looks so, so good.
So good.
Jess H., a skincare consultant looking for her calling, moved to Skinwalker Ranch because of the copious amounts of client opportunity.
Moisturizing is key, even for the undead. Evan K., played the role of the decapitated head in Hereditary with a motion capture suit.
Oscar snub, for sure.
Deserved it.
Adam R., an exorcist in training. Their little brother chugs pea soup and helps them practice.
Projectile vomit included. Thank you to all of our coven members on Patreon. Without you, we are nothing.
We're not worthy.
We're not worthy.
We're, like, honestly not worthy. Like, not even a little bit.
Like, not at all.
Like, seriously.